Hello, everyone. Welcome to Let's Go Read. I'm Chris Davies, and I'm joined today by the editor of a new collection of essays about Jackie Robinson called 42 Today, Jackie Robinson and His Legacy. This is Michael Long. Thank you for joining me.
Hey, Chris. It's great to be with you. Thanks for the invitation.
Yeah. Now, this book, the collection of essays that you've compiled here, I tore through this. It was so fascinating and so enjoyable, which I don't always say about a collection of essays, where they can be so up and down. But I think because of the thesis statement that you kind of set out in your introduction, that Jackie Robinson was a complicated man who left multiple legacies on and off the field that defy easy characterization, and the way that the authors in this book really explore that is so nuanced that it gave me so much more appreciation for the man himself, which I would assume was your goal. But I want to hear from you. You know, what were you hoping to accomplish with this collection?
One of the things I was hoping to accomplish, let me just back up and say that I'm really grateful for that reaction. I've worked on other edited collections, and this one is by far my favorite, not only because of the subject material, but because the all-star team I put together was so excited about the book and turned out such wonderful material. So thanks for that initial reaction. Mm-hmm. In terms of what I was hoping for with the book, I was hoping for this. I was hoping that we would take that one-dimensional or two-dimensional character that we've seen with Jackie Robinson in terms of the presentation of Major League Baseball through the years and others, and expand on that, or at least deepen it. You know, we often freeze Robinson in 1947, especially in the early part of 1947, when he's turning the other cheek, when he's soldiering on nonviolently, but I wanted us to dig deeper. I wanted us to get beyond that wonderful American national icon hero and discover the fiery Robinson, the Robinson whose personality was not nonviolent. He did not have a peaceful personality, and I wanted us to dig into that personality. I also wanted us to see Robinson beyond baseball. This is a man who's famous for shattering the color barrier on April 15th, 1947. But he was also much more complicated than that. Rachel Robinson describes her late husband as an informal civil rights leader. And so I wanted to unpack that part of Robinson's legacy as well. What I really wanted to do was to complicate Robinson, or better stated, to present him and his complexity.
Yeah. One of the parallels to that I saw here, having read John Lewis's autobiography, Walking with the Wind, last year, I noticed just how similar many of these depictions of Robinson's life were to what John Lewis was doing. You know, Jackie was the sit-in before the sit-ins, and he was the one who was not necessarily taking a freedom ride, but he was demanding, you know, the equality in Southern areas before anyone else. And I, you know, that was one thing from this book that doesn't seem to come up when we're talking about Jackie Robinson, whether it's on Jackie Robinson Day or Black History Month, any of the stereotypical times when Robinson is in the public eye.
I think we've frozen him in 1947, especially mm-hmm. because he's so safe to white America, mm-hmm. non-threatening to white America. But when we look at Robinson straightening his back after he's released from that biblical admonition to turn the other cheek, then he becomes less attractive. He becomes more threatening. He becomes somebody who's come into his own and is offensive in many ways. Then when he starts to work in civil rights, wow, he's really demanding first-class citizenship for Black Americans. And that's not something that white America has celebrated through the years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I believe it was Howard Bryant's essay in which he really delves into that he calls, you know, points out that non-threatening, that easy look at Jackie Robinson was just wrong because of the way he fundraised for the NAACP and was strong, true to his morals, I did not realize that Jackie Robinson stumped for Nixon before eventually turning his back on the man when he realized his true character. But what do you think was the most surprising thing? You've obviously written other books about Jackie Robinson, but was there something that stood out to you that you were like, wow, when you were editing this collection?
I think Jonathan Eig's work in the book I found surprising. Jonathan Eig is a wonderful author. He's written about Muhammad Ali and Jackie Robinson. Now he's working on a book about Dr. King. And he writes in his essay that when Robinson, and I knew some of this, but I didn't know of it, all of it. He writes in his essay that when Robinson showed up at the Dodgers clubhouse, they didn't have a locker for him.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't quite sure what was going to happen with Jack Robinson. So they put his jersey on a peg. And what's interesting about the jersey is that it didn't have the desirable numbers. There were low numbers available when Robinson came to the team. Number 4 was available. Number 2 was available. These were low numbers. They were desirable. Duke Snider, another rookie, got a low number. But they gave Robinson a highly undesirable, unattractive number, and that was number 42. There was only one higher number than that number on the Dodgers roster. So Robinson takes this number 42, and I love this, and he makes a number out of 42. We did not know the number 42 before Jackie Robinson. We sure as heck know it today because he made a number out of that number. I found that story not only new, but also inspiring.
Yeah, absolutely. And was it Jonathan Eig's story in which he debunks the myth from 42 that Pee-wee Reese went over and put his arm around Jackie Robinson in Cincinnati, the story everyone knows? I'm not sure if it was Jonathan Eig or not now.
Yeah, it was Eig.
Yeah.
Let it be said that I love 42, the movie.
Uh-huh.
I found it inspiring. I love the way that Chad Bozeman depicted Robinson as somebody who was fiery in 47 while keeping his temper in check. I love 42. I really did.
Mm-hmm.
Nevertheless, there are problems with 42 for those who are historians and really good journalists, and Jonathan Eig is one of them. And he points out that the scene in which Pee-wee Reese walks over to Jackie Robinson and puts his arm around Robinson and racism disappears in Major League Baseball in America forever, which is embellishing it, never really happened. I think Robinson's widow, Rachel, is upset about those types of legends because they detract from the significance of the sacrifice that she mm-hmm. and Jack went through in 1947. And Robinson was really a lone pioneering figure. And you're right, early on, Dr. King said that Robinson was a sit-inner before the sit-ins, as you alluded to earlier. He was a freedom rider before the freedom rides. He was a lone pioneering figure. And one of the images that sticks in my mind to back this point is that at the end of that night, Robinson would go back to their small apartment and Rachel would know that he would be upset and she would let him go and he would walk into the bedroom and kneel by the bedside and pray for strength and courage. That image is of a lone black man struggling to become somebody who excels on and off the diamond. And he did exactly that.
Yeah, I'm struck now with the recent departure from the earth of Hank Aaron, hearing his story and how he had FBI bodyguards stationed outside his hotel room to help him with all the death threats he was getting, and kind of contrasting that with what Jackie and his wife Sharon went through. And that's part of, the theme in here is We honor him now, and Bud Selig's decision to retire 42 across the league that's made it this immortal number in baseball, a sport that's all about its numbers. But he didn't have even the kind of protection that Hank Aaron had when he was being horribly mistreated. And I wonder if that is enough. There's an essay in here, and I forget which one off the top of my head, but where the author speculates, maybe we shouldn't retire 42. Maybe we should honor him in another way and let someone else live at, or play and represent 42. And I wonder what you feel about that.
Yeah, it's a fascinating take. It's an essay by David Nays in the book. Mm-hmm. And he makes the case that it's difficult to put 42 up in the rafters and then just take the dust off once a year so that all the players can wear it on Jackie Robinson Day. I love not only 42, I love Jackie Robinson Day. Mm-hmm. So I do want to emphasize that I think it's important to have Jackie Robinson Day when all the players wear 42. What a special moment that is. And Nays makes a fascinating case that if we allow players to wear it throughout the MLB season, we'll be talking a lot more about Jackie Robinson. I don't have a horse in the race, but I do believe that the more we talk about Robinson, the better. Somebody else makes the case that maybe we should just allow the most valuable player to wear 42 throughout the season and then to have Jackie Robinson Day as well. There are lots of configurations that are possible. I don't have a horse in the race, but I do think that getting that number into Major League Baseball throughout the season somehow would be a very good thing so that we'll talk more about Robinson. And after all, he transformed the game, you know? One of the contributors, George Vesey, a longtime New York Times sports writer, makes the case that, you know, when we saw people dancing between the bases, when we saw them taking that extra wide turn at first base, when we saw them doing a hard slider, stealing home plate, we saw Jackie Robinson ball there. Mm-hmm. And he injected Major League ball into Major League Baseball. Vesey makes the case that analytics has sort of squashed that, but Robinson transformed Major League Baseball, not only the color of player skins, but the game itself.
Yeah, that was fascinating to me because it made me think of playoff baseball and how maybe that's a point that Vesey makes in his article, but we see the small things come back and the aggressiveness and that kind of Jackie ball with the aggressiveness of someone like Biz Mackey taught his players coming through the game. And it really makes the game more exciting. And I'm sure you're a big baseball fan and know that the ball is being deadened for next year. And wonder if we'll see that again or if the game of baseball has kind of forever moved on because of analytics and what you might think about that.
You know, I think the last thing Major League Baseball needs to do right now is slow the game down.
Yeah.
You know, when Robinson left baseball in 1956, 5.6% of all rosters in Major League Baseball consisted of Black Americans, Black players, I should say. And today, I think I'm right about this, but I'm not positive. Today, that figure has jumped a total of 1% to 6.6%. And I can't imagine that Robinson would not be deeply disappointed at that. I'm so glad that Major League Baseball has just hired Ken Griffey Jr. to work on issues of diversity and attracting young Black players and players of color into the baseball game. But it's tough, you know, baseball's not especially attractive in a society that is so fast paced. I love watching the NBA. I love watching the NFL, the National Hockey League. They're fast paced. They're full of energy. They're full of fire. Major League Baseball doesn't have that. So Ken Griffey has his job cut out for him. Mm-hmm. And I wish him all the best.
Yeah. Is there anyone in today's game you see that reminds you of Jackie? I mean, off the top of my head, I think of kind of the swagger of Tim Anderson or the outspokenness of someone like Amir Garrett, kind of reminiscent perhaps of Jackie. But is there anyone that you can think of?
I really appreciate those names you're throwing out. There's no one that I think matches Robinson. I'm sure you agree with me on this point as well. One of the contributors makes the case that Robinson stood head and shoulders above everybody else at the time. This is a guy who not only excelled in the game and did so by injecting Negro Leagues baseball into Major League Baseball at the same time, but did so under enormous pressure. So even the beautiful swagger that we see today is dramatically different, because when Robinson injected such awesome color into the game, he did so imagining that there were people in the stands who wanted to kill him. He received death threats on a daily basis for a long time. This is a guy who had fans hurling the N-word and racist taunts at him on a daily basis. This is a guy who performed under threats from other players and managers. I mean, the pressure that this guy performed under, and at the same time, put such swagger into the game, and at the same time, built Hall of Fame statistics, it's just enormous. I agree that there are players out there who show us some of the aggressiveness and assertiveness that Robinson showed us. But wow, Robinson stood head and shoulders above virtually everybody that I know of.
Yeah. That just brings me back to the book and the particularly moving essay from Adam Emil Rogers about the challenges of a gay Jackie Robinson. And you mentioned how Jackie played the game imagining someone might want to kill him. And it's a sad critique of our society that it wouldn't be hard to imagine a gay Jackie Robinson feeling that way. But at the same time, one thing Rogers writes in his essay is about going to the game where Jason Collins made his debut in the NBA as an out gay man. And it was kind of a whole lot of nothing for him, or for the crowd at least, not nothing for him. And I just wonder what your thoughts are on somebody playing baseball in 2021 or in the future as an out gay individual.
Oh, for goodness sake, the time has come. Mm-hmm. Really? I say to myself, really? Nobody has come out Major League Baseball. That's dramatic to me in the sense that Major League Baseball is so far behind American society and culture, where we are right now. It is such a conservative, and I don't mean politically conservative, and I don't mean that. It's just such a conservative sport. It's a conservative mm-hmm. culture. I can't believe people don't feel comfortable enough to come out. Yes, I do believe it. It's unfortunate. And I love that essay by Rogers. And I look forward to the day when we see openly gay men playing Major League Baseball without hesitation mm-hmm. and without rancor as well.
So do you foresee it being the kind of situation Jackie faced, or maybe more of a big, much to do about nothing like was for Jason Collins?
I think it'd be a lot of much to do about nothing. I really do. I don't see the same type of vitriol that Robinson faced. Perhaps Major League Baseball fans, perhaps we're just too vanilla,
yeah.
if you don't mind by stating it that way, to react so violently to an openly gay baseball player. But I think society and culture has changed. I don't want to go to understate homophobia or anything like that by any stretch of the imagination. Mm-hmm. But I just think that we're looking at apples and oranges when we're looking at Robinson in 1947 and an openly gay baseball player in 2021. Mm-hmm. I hope I'm not wrong about that. Maybe yeah. I am, but I really hope I'm not wrong about that.
Yeah, I'd hope so too. And that's not naivety on our part. One place yeah. that the game has gotten better is accepting women. We've seen assistant coaches and the first female general manager now with Miami. And you've got, is it Yahuru Williams' essay? No, Amira Rose Davis. I'm sorry.
Amira Rose Davis.
Yes, mm-hmm. who wrote about Jackie Robinson and his support of women's athletics. And that was a real evolution for him. it kind of now being mirrored by the sport, what was that part of his legacy, and what can we learn from Jackie Robinson about women in baseball or sports at large?
Yeah, good question. I want to go back, if I may, Chris.
Yeah.
Just note that you are the first interviewer among all these interviewers that I've talked with in the past week who's asked me about the gay Jackie Robinson.
Oh, yeah.
So I just want to note that. That shows you how hands-off people still are when it comes to that topic. And I'm really proud that we've addressed it in the book. Mm-hmm. And I'm delighted that we talked about it. But yeah, I mean, that's shocking to me that you're the first one who's asked me about that. Other people have asked me about Black women and Jackie Robinson. And but in terms of the gay Jackie Robinson, no. But let me talk a little bit about Black women and Jackie Robinson. Robinson loved his mother, Mally. I mean, she made a way for him. She's the one who taught him about that dignity of the color of his skin. She taught him that Adam and Eve were originally Black, and then they were Eve eating of the...
Oh, I'm sorry. You're cutting out on me.
Oh, I'm sorry. Is this better now?
Yeah. Okay. You were at Adam and Eve when it started to cut out.
Okay, thanks. Mm-hmm. So he loved Mally. Mally taught him about the dignity of the color of his skin. She taught him that Adam and Eve were originally Black, and then they were scared white when God caught Eve eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So she taught him that the color of his skin was full of dignity. And she also taught him that freedom was a thing to be grasped here, right here and right now. It wasn't something to wait for in heaven or the pie in the sky or the sweet by and by. Freedom was God's will for Robinson right here and right now. So he had a really powerful woman in his life who made a way out of no way. And he was forever indebted to his mother, Mally. He also loved Rachel. When he died in October 24th, 1972, he came out of the shower. He called her name and she went running and they met in a hallway in the house, and he hugged her and told her that he loved her, and then he died. I collapsed right there. And his love for Rachel was abiding. She really helped him pioneer 1947 and beyond. She was with him and he was with her every step of the way. Now, when she became a nurse and when she wanted to study to become a nurse, he had some trouble with that. Robinson was not part of the women's movement by any stretch of the imagination. And it took him a while to warm up the idea that his wife would be a working woman. She brought him along on that point. She helped him understand the value of working women working beyond the house. And so all credit to Rachel for pushing Robinson in this way. I'll also add that Robinson was a big supporter of Black women athletes. And Amira Rose Davis points this out in the book in a beautiful chapter on the way that Robinson supported Black women athletes, including a young high school runner by the name of Wilma Rudolph in 1955. There's this wonderful photo of Robinson and Roy Campanella and Wilma Rudolph shaking hands in 1955. And it's an indication that Robinson really supported young Black women athletes like Wilma Rudolph and far beyond Wilma Rudolph as well.
Yeah, that part of the essay was really fantastic and interesting to learn. And I did, especially that anecdote you shared there about Robinson, you know, coming to his wife as right before he died. It's just so beautiful. And now his daughter is working with MLB to keep his legacy present and to help other African Americans. And so what do you think she can do? What do you think baseball can do in the future to really keep Robinson forefront and to honor his legacy the right way?
Well, I think that Sharon Robinson has already done awesome work with the legacy of her father. And one of the most important things she's done is to write books for Scholastic that have gotten into the hands of countless boys and girls in public and private schools across America. And these books have, which are just breathtaking, if you ask me, have shared her father's legacy, what he was like on the diamond and off the diamond. And I really encourage everybody listening to this to get your hands on Sharon's books. The good thing about this part of Sharon's life is that she's affecting young children when they need to be affected. She's affecting them at the right age. We need to teach young kids. We can't wait until they're adults. We need to teach young kids about the importance of Robinson's life and legacy in advancing first-class citizenship for Black Americans and for people of color. And this is what Sharon has been doing. She's devoted a lot of her life to writing, and good for her for trying to form and shape the moral character of young people. That's been terrific. She's also supported the Major League Baseball's educational efforts in advancing Jackie Robinson's work. That's awesome. The Jackie Robinson Foundation she works with, and her mother, Rachel, really founded that right after Jack died. And that has given countless scholarships to young students of color. Those are all important things to do. Ken Griffey will be looking at ways to reach young Black kids and other kids of color who are looking at sports early in their lives. And I hope that he can do a great job of introducing them to baseball and attracting more of them to Major League Baseball. I hope Major League Baseball will continue to support movements like Black Lives Matter movement and so forth. You know, the other thing that we need to look at when we look at Robinson's legacy is to look beyond Major League Baseball. When we see all the people of color in the National Basketball Association and in the NFL and even beginning in the NHL, that's Jackie Robinson's legacy as well. So we need to laud that part of the legacy in the ways it's still beyond Major League Baseball into other sports. What else can we do? Well, Rachel Robinson has said in her numerous comments that we need just to support Black equality. Whenever people of color face inequality, we need to stand up for equality. And when we do that, we advance her husband's legacy.
That sounds great. That's what you want from Major League Baseball, from everyone. Those are all the topics that I had planned to talk to you about. Is there anything else that you'd like to mention about the book or Jackie Robinson?
I don't think so. I think we've done a great job, Chris.
Well, great.
We appreciate it.
Yeah.
In-depth conversation. I don't get that all the time, so thanks for that.
Sure. My guest is Michael G. Long. His book is out now from NYU Press. It's 42 Today, Jackie Robinson and His Legacy. Thank you very much for joining me.
Chris, it's been great to be with you, and let's play ball sooner rather than later.
All right.